Today, I'll be talking about Jacob's reconciliation with Esau, a bit of the background. You recall that Jacob left Laban, Canaan, and the route that he took would be similar to the route that he took from Canaan to Haran. So if you look at the map on the left side of the screen, you see this parallel red line. The line going northeast is the line which Jacob took from Canaan to Haran. And there he got married to four wives and had many children and 12 sons and a daughter, and became rich and then decided to leave Laban to go back to the promised land. And he took the parallel route from Haran all the way down back to Canaan. And so at this place called Mahanaim near Peniel, Jacob sent a message to Esau. And where is this place, Mahanaim, near Peniel? I'll show you. Let me see if you can see this. Yes. This is an expanded part of the map that you saw earlier. It is right at the bottom where Jacob would have turned to the west at this place called Peniel, Mahanaim. So this is where big events happen with Esau and with wrestling with God. So at this point, yeah. So if I were to go back to the big map, you can roughly understand where it was. So let me go back to the big map. All right. So if look at the big map, it's here. You can see my cursor circling this place called Peniel. So it's already very near Canaan. And then what happened? Jacob sent a message to Esau, because Esau would be somewhere down south in Mount Seir. Where is Mount Seir? You look at this map again on the left. Mount Seir is at the south. Mount Seir here. And this place is called Edom. That's where the Edomites are. And that's where Esau established his stronghold. And you look at the blue line going up north. And this is the route which Esau and his men took to meet up with Jacob up further north. Okay. So let me read Genesis 32, verse 3 to 5. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. So when Jacob was around this area, he sent messengers to Mount Seir in Edom to his brother Esau. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. Jacob instructed his messengers that you must say this, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. You must say this to my lord Esau. He addressed his brother as my lord. So elevating his brother above Jacob. Thy servant Jacob, Jacob referred to himself as servant to Esau. Thy servant saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I, Jacob, have lived with Laban and stayed with Laban until now. Now means he is now in Peniel. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. The messenger must tell Jacob's lord Esau that Jacob has oxen, asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And now he's going to tell Lord Esau that Jacob may find grace in Lord Esau's sight. So very humble and elevating Esau upwards. So that was the message. Let me go on to the next slide. So let's look at Jacob's message to Esau. It's very courteous, not only courteous, it's very reverential towards Esau. Why? Because Jacob remembered Esau's threat to kill him because of his deceit. You remember how Jacob deceived Isaac and got the best blessing from the father. The best blessing meant for Esau. And Esau wanted to kill Jacob because of his deceit and stealing his blessing. So Jacob now wanted to reconcile with Esau. So Jacob's message was couched very humble terms, calling himself your servant Jacob. So he told the messenger, when you meet Esau, address him as Lord Esau and his servant, Esau's servant Jacob is coming to meet him. So sort of lowering himself to the position of Esau's servant, and he addressed Esau as my Lord. So where do we see this? Let me read on. Verse 4 of chapter 32. He commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my Lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. My Lord Esau, your servant Jacob. And in the message, Jacob will also bring generous gifts to Esau. Verse 5. And I have oxen, asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. So, very reconciliatory, very reverential, respectful towards Esau. You know, elevating Esau upwards as Jacob's Lord. And Jacob is Esau's servant. So what is a spiritual lesson on Jacob's message to Esau? If you wish others to have you in high regard, you must have high regard for others. If you wish others to have high regard for you, you must have high regard for others. So it is in this case where Jacob wants Esau to have high regard for him. He doesn't want Esau to be hostile towards him, threatening to kill him and his family. That won't do. So he is trying to win Esau. And to do that, he must pay respect and reverential regard to Esau. So if you read the golden rule here in Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So Jacob wants Esau to have high regard to himself. And so he paid very high respect to Esau, hoping to win Esau's respect in return. At the same time, he also offered gifts to Esau to win Esau over. So it is the same with us. The lesson that we can learn from Jacob's message to Esau is that if we want others to have us in high regard, we must have regard for other people. That when other people see that we have high regard for them, they will also have high regard for us. And also, if you present gifts, that would also be very helpful, showing that you are kind to them and they will also respond with equal kindness. So that is the spiritual lesson of Jacob's message. Let us move on. Esau was coming with 400 men to meet Jacob. Jacob was fearful and distressed and prayed to God. So let us read on the scripture from verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. So the messenger came back and told Jacob that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. And then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. So he was very afraid because he thinks that Esau and his men are coming to kill him and his family. So he divided his entourage into two bands, yeah, because he has big family, a lot of livestock, a lot of servants. So he divided them into two camps and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So quite good strategy here, so that if Esau does strike, it is not one fell swoop, everybody got killed, you know. If there are two bands, if Esau attack one band, the other band can quickly escape. And Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. So now Jacob prays. He was very distressed, very fearful of what Esau might do to him and his family. He divided his family into two camps, and now he prayed. Prayed to the God Almighty. And he said, God, you are the one who are the God of Abraham. And you told me that to go back to my country in Canaan, and you will make me prosper. And I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. So he tells God his predicament. He's not worthy of God and of his benefits. And now he crossed over the river Jordan, and he's going to be divided into two camps. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. So he's fearful. Why? Because Esau is going to kill him and his whole family, including the mothers and the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he reminds God, God, you said you would make my descendants as the sand of the sea, so many descendants, which cannot be counted. And he asked God for deliverance. And he lodged there that same night and took off that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. So let's move on. So at that place in Peniel, he was very fearful because he received news that Esau is coming with 400 men. And he divided his big entourage into two camps, and then he prayed. And then he stayed there for the night and started to select his present. Yeah. And so Jacob selected gifts to reconcile with Esau. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams. 30 milch camels and their colts, 40 kines cattle, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 foals. Wow, so a lot of animals and livestock gifts for Esau, very generous gifts, because he wants to win Esau over and save his family from destruction. And he sent his gifts ahead. He taught the servants to speak humbly to Esau to win Esau's reconciliation. Verse 17 to 21, let me read on. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau, my brother, meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, what art thou? Whither thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Because he was sending the gifts ahead of him with servants. And he instructed his servant, when you see Esau, and when Esau asks you, who are you? And where are you going? And what are these animals and these livestock? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servants, Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. Behold, also he is behind us. So servant was instructed to say, all these are servant Jacob's. Yeah, Esau's servant Jacob. And it is a present for lord Esau. And then Jacob is behind us. And so commanded he the second and third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall he speak unto Esau when he find him. So he told all his servants, this is the way you address Esau. And say ye moreover. So say, the presents are for Lord Esau, and that servant Jacob is behind us. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward, I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept of me. So behind Jacob's mind, he is fearful that of what Esau will do to him and his family. And he wants to be generous with Esau. And hopefully, Esau will accept him for his generosity and kindness to Esau with all the gifts So he went, so went the peasant before him, and him and himself lodged that night in the company. So he sent all the peasant ahead. Yeah, and himself, he stayed back in the camp. Let me read on. Verse 22, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the fort Jabbok. So you recall, where is Jabbok? If I may show you Jabbok, right? You should see this map again, a different map rather. The red line shows the route taken by Jacob and his people all the way to Mahanaim. And then this is the place where they stayed for the night and where Jacob was fearful that Esau was coming to kill him. And he started to select all his presents and livestock. And you notice this little stream called Jabbok River. And so this is Jabbok, what is spoken of in verse 22. And he sent his wives and all his two women servants and his 11 sons pass over Fort Jabbok. So they cross the stream of Jabbok here. Let me move back on. And verse 23, and he took them and sent them over the brook, sent them to across the brook Jabbok, and sent them over he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So that this is the event where he wrestled with God. Yeah. And let me read on what happened in this event. 24 to 30. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So Jacob was in that vicinity of the brook Jabbok, which is near Peniel, all wilderness, trees and bushes. And he saw a man, and he wrestled with the man, did not allow the man to leave. And the man was God incarnate, and the man touched Jacob's thigh, and the thigh was out of joint, so it was dislocated. Yeah? And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So Jacob would not let this man go, unless this man blessed him. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. So God incarnate asked Jacob, what is his name? And Jacob replied, his name is Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob wants to know the name of this man who told Jacob his name has been changed to Israel. And the man said, why do you need to know my name? And he blessed him there. And then Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. This is the reading from scripture. So this, I'd like just to show you again the map of the traveling of Jacob. This is a good map because it tells you in each part of the journey some important events, especially at Haran. Jacob spent 20 years in Haran working as a shepherd for his uncle Laban. So we are talking about 7 for when he married Leah, and then another 7 marrying after that he married Rachel, and then another 6, about 6 years, yeah, after marrying Rachel he went on working for Laban. So altogether about 20 years, then he came back to the promised land through this route, the dotted line, and then at this point in Mahanaim, Jacob meets his brother Esau. And this is the point where Peniel, where he was so upset and so distressed that Esau was coming with 400 men purportedly to kill him and his family. And he was so fearful. And then God came and wrestled with him, and he got the blessing from God. And okay, let us. And then, of course, subsequently, he moved to Succoth, and Succoth, Shechem to Bethel to Hebron, or Hebron, where Abraham dwelt. So let us move on to the next. Okay, now we will watch a video on Jacob, how he moved away from Laban, and he sent message to Esau. Then there was a reply that he's coming in 400 men, and all the fear and distress, and meeting God himself, who came to bless him after the wrestle. So again, I would like to caution you on the inaccurate parts of the video. The speeches are all made up by movie makers. The speeches are not found in the Bible, and some of the events may not be as precise as what is written in the Bible, but the movie makers, it's trying to make it look credible from a human point of view. But you would note the fear and the distress Jacob was under. And that is what you should watch out for. The emotional part of Jacob, the fear and the distress, how he called out to God. And very important part of this part of the spiritual lesson is about fear. Yeah? And how do we overcome fear? So let us watch the video.
Pierre, but the sun's still high. We should go on.
We're now in the land of Esau. We go no further till he and I have settled our differences. I want you to prepare an offering of gifts. Select the finest of our lambs and goats, the best of our ewes and she-goats, our very best broadcloth, and prepare a caravan. Zirim, I want you to drive it west to Seir. Find my brother. Present him with my gifts. Tell him where I've been all these years. Tell him that he is my king, and that what you bring shows my respect and obedience.
How long do we stay here?
Until the gifts are delivered and the messengers return. 2 days there and 2 days back. Then we move on.
But why do we wait? And why should we give everything we've worked for to a brother you haven't seen in years?
He's been with me every day I've been gone. I cannot take you to the land God promised us until I make peace with Esau.
Why not?
Once, a long time ago, I wronged Esau. I endured my trials to prove to God that I wanted to atone, that I learned the lessons that he set me.
You understand that, but does Esau?
Jacob! Jacob! Jacob!
Zirim?
Jacob!
What happened? Why are you back so soon?
Your brother, Esau, he must have known you were coming. You'll be here by daybreak. With a band of armed men.
Split up into two groups. Divide the goods and flocks equally. Then, when I give the order, one group will follow Rachel and half my sons, while the other will go with Leah and the rest. Go.
both Abraham and Isaac. Save me. I pray for my brother Esau. I fear he will come and destroy me, sparing neither mother nor child. Deliver me so that I can fulfill your promise that my descendants will be like the sand of the sea, beyond all counting. Who's there? Esau! Esau!
Why the Lord sent you? Now give me your blessing!
What is your name?
Jacob!
Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have striven with God as well as with men, and you have prevailed.
So we saw the video of how distressed Jacob was, and then he had this encounter with God himself in human form, and God blessed him and gave him comfort and confidence to meet with Esau. So the spiritual lesson is, when we are fearful and distressed, do we pray? You saw the video, how he was so distressed that Esau is coming with 400 men to destroy his whole camp. And he quickly gave orders to form them into two groups and to split them up. And then he prayed to God to deliver him from his predicament of meeting Esau. So do we pray when we encounter difficulty, encounter distress and fear? Very important, because many of these events are put there as tests for us. How much faith we have in God? Do we have due regard to God when we are afflicted with fear and distress? Do we come to God to pray? Do we ask God to restore us our confidence, our faith in Him? Do we put Him as first in our life when we come across troubling situation and ask God to deliver us from this affliction of fear, distress? Because God wants us to put Him first under whatever situation we are in, including distressful situation. It is natural to have fear. I've divided fear into a few types. You have the rational fear, like you won't put your finger into the fire for fear that you will burn your finger and you suffer in pain and injure your finger. That's rational, yeah? And that's good fear. That kind of fear sort of protects you. You won't go into a place where you would suffer harm and injury to yourself. And so you protect yourself. because you fear going into a dangerous place, a hazardous place. For example, we have the pandemic and we have the Omicron and the Delta variant and what have you. We won't go into a place where the place is very crowded and people are without masks and there's no social distancing because we fear of catching the virus, particularly variants which are very transmissible and infectious. That's rational and that's good. Then we have irrational and excessive fear. For example, you have excessive fear when you study. If many students, they study very hard for the exam, and that's good. That's rational fear. Yeah, you want to do well for exams. So naturally, you will study hard to do well. You're not satisfied with just a pass. You want to do better. That's rational fear. Excessive fear comes in when you overexert in your study. Day and night, study, little rest, you lost appetite, you lost sleep, you lost rest, and you suffer in terms of your health. That's excessive fear when you study. So even in rational fear, if it's excessive, it can be bad. And there's the irrational fear, where there's no reason to fear, but you fear. Ordinary people would think that this is very routine, like going for a routine medical checkup. There's nothing to fear. But some people have a very heightened sense of fear, irrational fear. So we encounter fear in many situations. So what is fear which is unhealthy and not advised would be the irrational and excessive fear. And when we are fearful, what is recommended is that we read the Psalms. Many of the Psalms in the Bible are Psalms of David. David was a man full of fear. If I may share a passage of the Psalm that he wrote and how he was so fearful, Psalm 143. And David was a man after God's own heart, very close to God, very intimate with God in terms of his prayer, in terms of communicating with God. And yet, he has many enemies and was fearful for his life, for those enemies. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on all the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." So he was very fearful that if God hides from him, he will die and go into the pit. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for indeed do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all of them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." So he was so much full of fear of his enemies, cry out to God. And you can find many of such Psalms of David calling out to God in his fear for his life because his enemies were fast upon him. And if David can be full of fear, it's quite all right that we are fearful too because we are lesser mortals. And David calls up to God for when he was in fear. So should we, when we are in fear, call out to God, cry out to God. Yeah, And Psalm of Deliverance is in Psalm 91. And I shall briefly read Psalm 91, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Those who are abiding with God will be under the shadow of the Almighty. Very comforting thought. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. God will deliver us from the snare of the fowler, trap, from the pestilence, from the diseases and the pandemics. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. God will cover us with His feathers, and we will be protected under His wings. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold thee, shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So, very comforting psalm for those who are fearful that God will protect, God will shield. God is our refuge when we are in fear. We will run to Him and He will cover us, protect us. So, spiritual lesson, read the Psalms and you will be comforted. How do we reconcile or show appreciation to another spiritual lesson? You know, address the other person with high regard and respect, especially if you're in a situation where you want to show regard and respect for somebody, you address him with high respect and regard, and maybe with kind gifts as well. Yeah? God appeared to Jacob in his distress, as God spoken to us in our distress. Many a times, distress comes our way, not by chance, not by coincidence. They are our appointment with God. God puts distress in our life that we will run to Him and cry out to Him, and then He will answer us and restore us. Just as God put distress in Jacob's life, two situations. The first one, when he was on the way to Haran, he stopped at Bethel, and he was all alone by himself in the middle of the night in the wilderness. No inn, no civilization. He slept on a piece of rock, and God came upon at the top of the golden stairways and spoke to him in a dream. And he woke up the next morning, recharged, invigorated, to press on with his journey to Haran. Then, at the river of Jabbok, distressed by the news that Esau was coming, 400 men, cried to God again, and God appeared in the flesh, wrestled with God. God blessed him and assured him, comforted him, that he was with God, and God had blessed him. And he came out the next day, energized, ready to meet Esau. So it is, Lord. I mean, when we meet with affliction, when we meet with fear, it is our appointment with God. And you must be ready to put God in His rightful place, yeah, and to trust Him. So let us move on. Jacob met Esau. Jacob met Esau, Genesis 33, 1 to 16. So after the wrestling with God, next day he woke up, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. So there's a system in which he present the family to Esau. Yeah. And verse 3, and he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. So as he moved forward to meet his brother, he bowed himself 7 times, giving reverence and respect to Esau. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. How comforting. What a relief for Jacob. He was almost sure that Esau was coming for his life. And the first thing Esau did was ran to him, embraced him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept. There was no animosity on Esau's part, no hostility. Esau never broached the subject of Jacob's deception. You read on, the context was Esau never talked about the past. Now, Jacob was fearful over an event that did not take place by the grace of God. And by all counts, by all logical deduction, you expect Esau to say, "Hey, you deceived me 20 years ago. I'm here to take my part of my blessing. It is what I deserve." Not at all. So Jacob was fearful of an event that did not take place by the grace of God. God prevented that ugly event from taking place. Proverbs 3:5-6 is what we have to ponder here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. So even at the back of your mind, logically, you fear the worst, but you have to trust God with all your heart. That is what God requires. Lean not unto your own understanding. Your own understanding is this terrible event is going to take place. Esau is coming for my blood. He's going to kill all my enemy and take all my livestock. My own understanding. Lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him. In all my ways, I must know that God is in control. Acknowledge God is in control. And he will make thy path straight. He will provide everything right in accordance with his will. So, this is a very good narrative of trusting in the Lord and how he would make path straight. And one final point that I would like to point out is that a subsequent video you watch is inaccurate. In it, you find that Esau came and then wanted to kill Jacob, but relented. If you compare that with scripture, scripture never showed Esau wanting to kill Jacob at that point in time. Very clearly, Jacob bowed down to Esau 7 times. Esau ran and embraced Jacob. But in video, inaccurate, as I said before. So be careful when you watch the video. Always compare with scripture. And where there is a difference, scripture prevails. And let me go on to the narrative in scripture. Jacob referred to himself as Esau's servant. And let me read the rest of scripture so that we have the facts. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" This is after Esau embraced and they wept. Esau lifted up his eyes and saw women and children, and he asked, "Who are these?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." So Jacob, still very reverential towards Esau, he referred to himself as thy servant. Then the maidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. So they all showed reverential respect towards Esau. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." So Esau said, "Why are they all coming like this, bowing to me?" And Jacob said, "It is to find mercy, kindness from my Lord Esau." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." So Esau says, no, I will not have all the gifts that you have presented to me. Esau said he already has enough. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at thy hand, at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face, as though I have seen the face of God, and thou was pleased with me. So that is all Jacob wants. He wants to see Esau pleased with him, and he is happy man. All this present and livestock and goats and camels and all that generous present is just to know that Esau is pleased with Jacob, and Jacob will be satisfied. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. So Jacob insisted that Esau should take it, and Esau took it. And he said, let us take our journey, let us go, and I will go before thee. So now they are going to part ways. Yeah, they will go back to where they come from. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. And let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as a cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. So Jacob, again, very reverentially referred to Esau as his Lord. Lord Esau, you go first, because my cattle, they are young. They cannot take a lot of pressure to press on with a speedy journey, so we will lag behind. So letting Esau go first. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. And so Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob went on to Succoth and Shechem. So that is the scripture. So if I were to refer you to the map again, this red line shows the route taken by Jacob coming from the northeast, from Haran until Peniel. And then he crossed the stream Jabbok. And then the green line from south is Esau with his 400 men. And they met here at Peniel. And it is also at Peniel when Jacob wrestles with a man, God, who blessed him and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So at this point, just look at the point where the green arrow meets the red arrow is where Esau met with Jacob at this point. Yes, so very interesting. Let us move on then. Okay, we'll watch a video. This video is where you see Esau meeting with Jacob. And of course, I said on before, the first part is inaccurate. It shows Esau wanting to kill Jacob. And that is inaccurate. It is not in the Bible that that Esau still harbored hatred against Jacob at that point in time. What is clear in the Bible was that Esau ran and embraced and wept on the neck of Jacob. So this is God's grace to Jacob. So let us watch the video.
Brother, suddenly I'm his brother again. Why did you run from me all these years?
I wronged you. I feared you would take your revenge. It would have been just.
Even he admits it.
Admits it humbly. I beg your forgiveness.
Damn you! I came here to punish you. I wanted to take your possessions and leave you penniless. I wanted to take your people and leave you with no one to love you. I have waited years for this day. But now I'm here. I feel the hand of Abraham and Isaac. I can't harm you. And these children?
They're the children God has blessed me with.
God has blessed you indeed. Now come with me to Seir and live with me in peace. I sheath my sword.
We need time to rest, to gather ourselves. Go on ahead. We'll soon follow.
Very well. You better take shelter. The storm is coming.
Why didn't we go with Esau?
Because we aren't going to Seir. We aren't going to join Esau. Esau and I must go our separate ways. Each of us has been promised a mighty nation.
Yes, so you saw the clip of Esau reuniting with Jacob. They then went their separate ways. So what is the spiritual lesson here? Jacob, in his fear and distress, called out to God, and God showed his grace that there was a good meeting with Esau without violence and hatred. And so it is that we must also learn that in our distress, we cry out to God, and God will hear us and will deliver us. We must also reconcile and pay respect to others, especially when we have a dispute or conflict with other people. Jacob and Esau, the end part shows reconciliation between two brothers that have fought and had conflicts. So I would like to share my own personal sharing that, yes, I had my own conflict within the family. And at that point in time, I felt that a member of the family who had wronged me, the person should ask for forgiveness before I can forgive. And so I had no relationship with the person for a couple of years on the basis that the person is wrong, the person must ask for forgiveness before I could forgive. So there was no forgiveness because there was no feeling of remorse or being penitent and asking for forgiveness. And something was just not right within me. And so I made an effort to reconcile despite the person not asking for forgiveness. God never say that you forgive only when the person who has wronged you asks for forgiveness. That is never part of the equation. God forgave us even when we were sinners. Never ask to be forgiven. God forgave us. So it is an example for us to remember that we should forgive, even though the person did not ask for forgiveness, and continue to press on his ways of conflict. And when I reconcile, we were happy again, and subsequently, the person realized his fault and sought forgiveness. So God works in very different ways from men. For God, we must do what we are required to do according to the word, and God then will bless. God then will restore us. If we continue to be hard and unforgiving, then God will not bless and God will not restore. So it is how we should forgive one another. Not because we are right and the other person is wrong, and so the other person is obliged to ask for forgiveness from us, then we forgive. No, we forgive because God says forgive. Simple and precise and short. And if we obey, God will bless and restore us. So let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson on fear and reconciliation. Lord, we pray that we can always run to You as our refuge, as our solid rock, a rock that cannot be moved, that will always be firm and stable, unmovable. You are our high tower, our mighty fortress, and Your wings are covering us, protecting us, shielding us from all injury, from all pestilences, from all destruction. And in You, we find rest and peace. Therefore, set us, Lord, in peace in our heart, and that we may sleep in comfort and in peace, knowing that we will wake up again the next day. And Thou hast been our mighty fortress, and we have been safely protected within Thy stronghold. So we praise Thee and thank Thee for our peace and for good health and strength. We praise Thee and ask that Thou continue to abide with us and be abide with Thee. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. We end here. Goodbye.